Welcome back to The Green Rush. This is a two-hour weekly live cannabis business talk show produced by Pro Cannabis Media. I'm Josh Kincaid. I'm sitting here with Christopher Smith. We've got a guest, Omari Jackson. He's the CEO and founder of Ganja Activists. Omari, thanks for being with us at The Green Rush.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very, very happy and honored to be here.
Appreciate it. We're going to talk about what you got going on in Jamaica and your events. We've also got Brian Yager. He's the CEO of Lemon Haze with Penny Cook, the CFO of Lemon Haze. Thanks for being with us, y'all.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. Hi. Nice to meet you guys.
Great. Great to meet you guys, too.
Yeah. Brian, we're going to start with you guys. Did you just have a recent golf tournament? Tell us a little bit about Lemon Haze and maybe either what you had going on or maybe an event you have coming up.
Yeah, Josh, we have had a few recently. We are full go in the middle of our 2022 Lemon Haze Cannabis Golf Executive Golf Classic Tour. So we've already done Florida, Phoenix, Southern California, Nevada, and we're on our way to Northern California this week and Ohio next week. So we are right in the middle of it.
That's quite a few. You got your CFO, Penny Cook.
Penny COO, actually.
What is that?
COO, actually.
COO. Okay. That's different. Running operations. That's not an easy task when you're doing multiple events across state lines. What is your tips and tricks to keep organized?
That's right. We have a small and mighty team, and we have some great technology and processes and partners behind the scenes that let us do quick turn on our events. So we really can have an event on one side of the country 1 week and then appear on the other side of the country with that same event, at that same event kit and our team in place without breaking a sweat the next week.
All right.
Yep.
I've never been golfing in Jamaica, but I'm assuming there's a golf course somewhere, Omari. But you're not running a golf tournament, though. What do you got going on with Ganja Activists and the events out there in Jamaica?
We don't do golf, but that is a very good idea, and Jamaica would be ideal for such an event. We should talk about that. For this summer we're having the GanjaActivist.com Caribbean Cannabis Summit Exchange and Trade Show in the Grill of Jamaica. This is an event that's kind of embracing more of a community, more of the farmer approach. We have the cannabis exchange, the seed exchange, to kind of get people involved. You want to introduce people to breeders, international and local breeders, raise the bar of the seed varieties that we have in the country. And just we have various different initiatives. But one of the main purposes is to bring, all industry stakeholders across the region, across the Caribbean, to kind of come together to try to establish a framework that can work as a unified Caribbean. Say if we're producing in Jamaica, processing in Trinidad, where your electricity costs are much lower, and then we have other tourism markets to Barbados and so on. It's the different frameworks that we can work, try to get our own little ecosystem going on with banking as well, because that's of course an issue for everybody. Some hope we could start a framework to move in that direction, because the American federal legalization is not going within the time frame that I think any of us expected with the previous president.
Omari,
what's
your personal or professional opinion about the ability for the Caribbean to kind of come together and organize something to that extent, to where they could have kind of inter-island operations? Or maybe you could just explain, like, Jamaica in and of itself. It seems like there's very similar to Mexico, where there's a lot of war and violence. And so some of the individuals attribute that to the drug cartels, and it's given the plant a bad name. And I just from what I've read, and I'm thinking that that's a lot of people in Jamaica, and some of the officials, maybe police officers, have that same feeling. Is that an uphill battle? Where are you at in Jamaica, and where is the Caribbean at in terms of being able to solidify those plans to get that kind of inner island community going to where you could do that?
That's a lot of questions in one. Trying to establish a Caribbean community. Well, we do have something called CARICOM, but even trying to get an inter-Caribbean framework which has always proved very, very, very difficult. With cannabis, it's going to be absolutely no exception. With the exception that we do have a unified cause with getting it legalized and opening up the trade and so on and so forth. So that may well help to foster that. As far as the development of the industry, the proliferation, we still definitely get a lot of pushback, even right here in Jamaica. There's a strong Christian contingent. I think they have the most churches per capita, and there are priests who still get up and say, this is the devil's lettuce and so on, and people will listen. So we do have, that is another uphill battle, and many of them are within the parliamentary ranks, and they have their own position, their own positions, as well as in the public and private sector as well. And then there's the private sector who wants to get involved to some degree. It is kind of still the whole gangster thing, as well as their own personal whatevers. But of course, banking becomes an issue because of the ties between the Jamaican banks and the U.S. banks. They're afraid they're going to clamp down on them because of the lack of federal legalization, so they don't want to touch it. So there's just a lot that needs to be done. And that's really stifling it. That's why would you want to see what we can do in the Caribbean? Even within the banking, there's the Eastern Caribbean EC dollar, that's a currency. Why don't we start trading in that in between us? Let's look at crypto. I just think there are ways that we can really kind of move forward without waiting for... if you want to see our big brother to move forward, before it's like a thing,
Yeah, definitely not easy. And yet, Brian, you're able to kind of have this leisurely event with, stars like Ricky Williams and some other well-known individuals to kind of bring focus and attention to an industry and yet still conduct business on a large scale. There's been a lot of deals that have been happening on the golf course during the Lemon Haze events. Kenny, can you kind of walk us through how that happens?
Yeah, so really the concept of the whole thing was to really just get all the decision makers in any market. And there's markets all over the country. Then there's obviously a national market, but any market, whether it be Southern California or Massachusetts or Michigan, get the decision makers and get them into one place. We happen to use golf as the way to get them into one place, and that honestly came out of COVID. Josh, you and I talked about it last year. It was a time where they were starting to allow events to come back. And at that time, the events could come back, but they had to be small. They had to be under 250 people, and you had to figure out how to do them socially distanced. Well, golf is outside and it's less than 250 people. And then all of a sudden we put 150 decision makers on one golf course, and it just really worked. Because you're not going to put that many decision makers in one place at one time without some kind of business being discussed. So, and it's being discussed in a fun, relaxing atmosphere. And it just, it hit a nerve, and it went really, really well. And, I want to throw one more thing onto that. So we were talking about, Penny coming on, doing our operations. So, Lemon Haze has been around since 2016, and we've done things with butt tenders. We've done things and with buyers. And when the golf tournaments came around and we got the executives together in an environment like we were just talking about, and it really got legs and took off fast. That was a point where I kind of sat back and looked at what my skills were, what my skills weren't. And Penny had been a longtime advisor to Lemon Haze going all the way back to 2016. She comes out of a startup background, but also a very successful startup background, startups that have gone on to IPO and an Ivy League background, a lot of operations things that was not my skill set. So where I was like, let's push this thing forward. Let's get these executives in the room. Let's get these in the room. But then also I was noticing places where we were dropping the ball, and I called Penny and just said, I need help. I said, come on, I need help. And to do as much as we've done in as many markets as we do them, that is a lot of moving parts. And so when Penny came on, she was able to take that. And it's just a really way of having to, make your leadership team of opposite skill sets that can really play off of each other. And that's what's been really exciting about this year.
It's hard enough to put one event on, but to scale it and to have multiple events in so many different states is really hard to get people to come to, because you have to brand it. You know, it's one thing just having maybe a celebrity or something to draw it in, but it's another to get people to kind of come back. You know, I just was mentioning in the last segment, I went to an event in Vegas, not going to go back, you know, but for you, you have people that continuously keep going back. So it's obviously worth it. So, I mean, that kind of speaks for itself. Omari, do you kind of feel in Jamaica, in order to get people to come out to the Caribbean, is there a need to push that Bob Marley, idea or concept? Does it need a gimmick, or does Jamaica have everything they need without that?
I think Jamaica just runs a lot, you know, synonymous with ganja and that level of the culture. So, I mean, I will say, granted, being here in the girl, the level of the Mecca, that does help significantly with the branding and everything. It was not necessarily purposeful. If I was living in Trinidad and Tobago, maybe this would not be what I'd be doing. It lends to it. And there's also the necessity of it, because this is also what we want to see coming out of Jamaica. We want to see a prolific industry develop. It's part of the course. It's what should happen, and we're making it happen, basically. Yeah.
Is the community there open to more events and having people come in and looking at it? Because I know with other Caribbean islands, you know, Puerto Rico being a territory of the U.S., there's a lot of pushback because everybody's diving in there right now, and there's you know, the locals just don't want to have that change in housing prices and everything else. Are you worried about what the cannabis industry could do to Jamaica and its culture?
Not necessarily. I think that the Jamaican influence in the cannabis industry is kind of outweighs anything that anybody can, quite frankly, import. And then there's a whole Rastafarian culture that is, you know, fully supportive of it. And there's a low tolerance level for high, you know, excessive capitalism, that the exploitation would not be tolerated either. So we have that kind of that buffer, if you will. But it's the industry is coming into its own, quite frankly, because I would say that there is within our legislation and so on, all companies have to be at least 50% Jamaican owned. So there is that level of ownership on certain levels, at least at the board level. What work they do is different. How that is structured is always questionable. I would say the industry as well is more than welcoming of investors and so on to come in. There is the issue of the banking, and there was kind of an initial free, you know, kind of land grab for a couple of entities, and that worked really well. Then I think they left because of whatever internal issues that they had. It was really not any issue having to do with the Jamaican market. But I just think that the Jamaican market needs to kind of develop itself. It's still in a level of maturation. And again, the education needs to be there. The foundational elements need to be there. We can't just be expecting people just to come and just be growers at the lowest level. We'd love to see them at all the levels of any entity, any company, and have a say in what is being produced and how it's being exported. The government needs to play their role in getting our exportation, you know, whatever those things that they do, you know, getting all that drafted and passed so that we can legally have a nice trail of export. And I think we'll see things start. They will start to move. It is a teething process. It's a bit, unfortunately, slower than people would have expected. But we're also a small nation. I guess we can put that out there as well.
Mm-hmm. Omari, are there any particular events coming up in Jamaica that you'd like to share?
Well, as I was saying, we have our event, which is June 30th to July 3rd. That's the GanDoctors.com Caribbean Cannabis Summit Exchange and Trade Show. That's in the grill, Jamaica. Then there's the annual event. I believe Canix Jamaica is happening. I think that's in the fall. That's the conference and summit, a little bit more corporate oriented, but that's great as well. We need that. And outside of that, well, there are, you know, with COVID having just kind of now really subsiding, there were a few events that were kind of staple on the calendar. We're not certain with when or where they're coming back, but I do expect to see that those events coming back. I am planning after this is going to be like a scaled down model of what I'd love to see happening in December, which is like a ganja week, where we can kind of open up an entire street over here in the West End, the grill, and all the ganja friendly areas they can serve. They can, you know, be selling certain products, the snap, you can cover their arts, their crafts, their hemp, clothing, all this kind of, you know, just open it up to ganja industry, basically. That's nice. But it's coming, you know. It's as I say, it is a slowly developing industry. We are struck with a lot of the encumbrances that people do face elsewhere, even though Jamaica's kind of ganja nation. It's we do have a lot of roadblocks still that we do face, as well as I think there is the maturation of the industry itself. There's a way that people are used to doing business in the past, and now there's a completely different way to operate, and that now needs to be identified, acknowledged, and learned, quite frankly, you know. Yeah.
Penny, I'm taking a poll. I'm asking everybody what their favorite show, what their favorite show or expo or conference is, and why.
Oh well, I'm super biased, and I would have to go with the Lemon Haze Bud Tender parties are some of the most happening things that we have going on in the industry. And it's where we honor and we bring to the forefront the most important people in the cannabis industry. We honor the bud tenders and we let the brands come out and educate them. And it's like, it's a party that's just for them. They have a great time. We understand from region to region who they are. And to Omari's point, I mean, he talks about really the specifics of what the cannabis industry is like in Jamaica. We find around the country that it is very hyper local. The culture is really, honoring where all of these different outposts are for cannabis right now. And Lemon Haze is really sensitive to that. And, something that we're able to leverage with Brian being one of the most connected people in cannabis is we understand what's going on in these local markets. And we're able to really cater to that on an individual basis for, when we're in Detroit, when we're in Cleveland, when we're in Southern California. These events all look really different, and the bud tenders culturally are different, and the industry looks different, and we really do honor that where we go.
Brian, you've been in the game for quite a while. I mean, it doesn't even have to be cannabis related, but what's your favorite expo or conference or show you've been to?
It's hard to ask when you're talking about a guy that puts them on. It's obviously, but I mean, and for all the reasons we talk about, and I could say so many good things about so many shows. What Hall of Flowers does out in California is really impressive, and I've always liked that concept of putting the brands first on some of the shows. Obviously, you look at something like what MJ BizCon has done over the years and been able to build that to something to the size they have, and honestly, we're able to get acquired due to it. But I'm biased, and it's honestly because I built what I wanted. And so when you look at like the what you came to last year to check out, Josh, our Lemon Haze Campus Executive Golf Invitational, which we invited all of the most powerful decision makers in the country, all the C-suite of the major MSOs, Curaleaf, GTI, Cresco Labs, Jushi, Tilt, all of them. And then the private companies, Steezy, Raw Garden, were all there. And, again, there's so many good things that I could say about all of the major shows around the country. And I just mentioned too, that I respect immensely. But I built what I wanted. So when we did ours, it was really I knew over years of being in this industry that it's really hard to get all the decision makers in the same spot. So we just found a way to do it, and we did it in a fun way. And it's going to grow even bigger this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm smelling a tournament, a golf tournament in Jamaica this December. I'm just planting
a second
seed.
The second you said it, my brain, it's funny you said that, because we do have on our roadmap to start going internationally. We do have on our roadmap to go to Toronto and Montreal and Puerto Rico. And I'm going to get your email address as soon as we're off of this. I am actually, and I'm not even saying that as a joke on a pod. I'm actually saying I'm going to get your email address, and we're going to talk.
Yeah, one of the best things about our tournaments and our bud tender parties and our upfronts is that everything we put on has got to be fun, and people are happy, and we, people would be happy.
You're not going to be sad being in Jamaica in December. There's no sad. Right?
There's no sad.
Right? No, there you go. Right?
It is very lemon hazy. Your
events do sound amazingly interesting. I'm very, very curious about how you sort out the logistics for as you move around the country and so on. I'm assuming you have very, very core teams on the ground in each location as well, especially if you also make it localized. That's unique. That's interesting. I've never.
Yeah, you know, and that's where I want to talk to you. So it is, and it we really. There's a couple of you know things that go into it when you're dealing with venues and luckily when you're dealing with golf courses, a lot of golf courses are owned by just some very large corporations. So you get to know them, and once you know them, they introduce you to who you need. But it really comes, and this goes right back to what Penny did when she came on, because it is, you're right, doing 14 tournaments this year and 22 next year, 23 once we add Jamaica, because that's coming. And you know, even this year, when you throw in our Buttender events, you know, we're doing, I think it's on the roadmap right now, 39 events in 42 weeks this year, and you know, in 30 plus markets. It is a logistical nightmare, but you build as much of a wash, rinse, repeat model as you can. Then you talk with every market, every venue, and you adjust accordingly for what you need to adjust for. What, you know, because what you adjust for in California is completely different than what you adjust for in Massachusetts, which is 100% different what you adjust for in Florida and Illinois. And so you get in contact with, you know, with guys like you, and you say, okay, where are the specifics that we need to do? And then I keep going back. Penny looks at it and goes, okay, here's the things we do every time. And I say, these are the things we need to tinker with, and you just get it done. And
And what's most important to us is that we're here to help the industry grow. We're here to help establish companies spread their wings, continue to get entrenched in the industry. We're here to help new companies get a foothold in the industry, and the whole industry benefits from it. When everybody comes together, everybody has that mission together. And that's really what we're all about. So region to region and city to city, we're really looking at what's going on and bringing the people to the table who will help further that for the industry everywhere we go.
Right on. Our tagline is learn, connect, and execute. That's kind of exactly it. It's just bring people together, learn from it, and get something done. Exactly. Get it off the ground. Get it moving. Get it moving forward. Get it, you know, yeah, exactly right.
That's what absolutely.
Omari, I can only imagine you've been inspired to put on events because of things you've been to in the past, whether that was a concert or expo or conference or whatnot. Do you have anything in your mind or memory that's like your favorite? You know, that you care to share, and why that particular event was your number one.
Ryan, I'm glad that you phrased it that way, because if I had to choose from a select amount of conferences, I do not have quite that much experience, especially being in the Caribbean. But I would have to say I love festivals. I think I did a Pink Pop in Holland many years ago, wherever that is, in Europe some years ago. And that is, it's again, it's a camaraderie, it's the people coming together that really kind of inspired me to put this on. I will say this, I come from like a media, more television film background. And I was always in trying to get, say, sponsorships for my production work. People, I would always see the company be putting their money into events. So I was actually like anti-events until I made a movie, started doing screenings for that. And then that led into virtual events and now this. But I think it, quite frankly, it's really about, it comes down to bringing people together. The panels, you want to have a nice cohesive panel. I think someone was saying earlier, no more than three people. I completely agree with that. Because you don't want people stepping on each other, and you want to get the information out. But it's just about that. People coming together to learn, to engage and connect with each other. Let's you know, let's share some ideas. Let's see what comes out of it. And then to engage and once what comes together. I'm trying to create an experience, an environment where people can have that experience. I guess that's really what I'm putting together. Yeah, that's the way. That would be my optimal event. So yeah, that's my two cents.
Where can people get more information about your event as we wrap up this Green Rush podcast? Omar, you got some stuff coming up. If people have information or questions, where can they go and find out more information about what you got going on?
Well, the website is ganjaconference.com. That's got all the information. Even tickets are also available right now. In fact, we had an early bird special that's going to and tonight, but we could, you know, but then we have a second one that kicks in shortly. It's ganjaconference.com. That's the event website. Our main website is ganjaactivist.com, which people always confuse. Ganja activist is not ganja, it's just one in the middle there. But the ganja conference is nice and easy for people to get. So ganjaconference.com, everything is right there. Any questions? You can email us at anything at ganjaactivist.com is fine. Info at ganjaactivist, Omari at ganjaactivist.com. We're on LinkedIn. I'm out there. I'm responding to people. So the normal channels as well. GanjaActivist.com is our brand, and the Ganja Summit is the website, and the event is the GanjaActivist.com Caribbean Cannabis Summit Exchange and Trade Show in Negril, Jamaica, June 30th to July 3rd. Very sorry, just before July 4th, but you know, it's one of those things.
And you heard it from Omari first on Pro Cannabis Media here at Green Rush that it is Ganja. It's Ganja, people.
Ganja. That's right. You're listening in. That's right. We were having that debate earlier. Yes, that's right. Ganja. I don't know what you say. Maybe that should be like a poll. We'll do something online. Ganja.
Different
ganja.
Podcast. Yeah.
Now you have me twisting it up. Ganja. It's Ganja Activist. GanjaActivist.com, man. It's Ganja. That's what's up. Got to open it up.
Penny. Open up your mouth. Maybe you want to tell us where the people could find Lemon Haze. Where's the next tournament at? Where can people find you? I know you're on social media too.
Social media, yep, and we're lemonhaze.com, and you can find us at Lemon Haze on social media, and we'll be in Granite Bay, California on this coming Monday, and in Cleveland, Ohio a week from Monday.
All right, that's coming up soon, and we will definitely get you guys connected so you can create a golf tournament in Jamaica, but with that, I think we're going to have to roll this one up. So I want to thank all of my guests today. That's Brian Yager, CEO of LemonHaze.com, and Penny Cook. She's the COO of Lemon Haze. And then, of course, we got Omari Jackson kicking it in Jamaica. He's the CEO and founder of the GanjaActivist.com. Check out his event out there. And, of course, Christopher Smith holding it down here. So I'm Josh Kincaid with the Talking Hedge. You can find me at the Talking Hedge. Christopher, where are you at?
AmericanCannabisReport.com. And that's on the web and on social media as well. Same.
All right. Thank you, guys. I had a great time. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Thank you, guys. I had a great time. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Appreciate it. Everybody have a great weekend.
Together, all of you.
Don't forget to smash that like button on your way out and check out these other videos that we've got.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
99.9% of our DNA is identical. It's a 0.1% that truly makes us different and unique. And that's what the show is about. Find out that 0.1% about your favorite guests. Find out what music they like, their first cannabis experience, and even what their room looked like growing up. But more importantly, or as important, their journey. Learn what makes them unique on Everything Is Personal.